We read here of the death of Isaac. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people. That means he went to heaven and was among the redeemed, his people. Being old and full of days, satisfied, satiated, content. Now that describes the death of five different men in Scripture. This was said of Abraham, Isaac, Job, David, and a priest by the name of Jehoiada. They died satisfied. What a way to die. They died satisfied, satiated. I've given this story before of Bill Borden, and it moves me every time I think of this particular story. Bill Borden, was born in Chicago in 1897, and he was heir to the Borden Dairy Products. Maybe you've heard of Borden before. Well, he was the heir of all of that. I don't know if it's still around. It may be. But as a teenager, he was a multimillionaire. Now, back then, being a millionaire, I guess that'd be like being a, I don't know, maybe a 100 millionaire. But he had a lot of money. And the heir to the Borden Dairy Products. And he turned his back on all of that against the wishes of his parents and gave it all up that he might be a missionary to China. And they were upset about this, but off he went. He went first to Egypt. He was going to seek to preach to the Muslims that live in China. I didn't know there were any, but evidently there were. And his desire and goal was that they would hear the gospel. And so he moved to Egypt in order to study the language, to equip him to go to China. 3 weeks later, he got spiral meningitis and died. Didn't do any of the things he wanted to do. He went against the wishes of his parents. And it didn't end up doing any good. He died before he could even get to the mission field. Now, would that be considered a wasted life? They buried him in Egypt. They couldn't ship someone back to the United States at that time. He was buried in Egypt, and his belongings were sent back home. And his father picked up his Bible and looked in that Bible, and it said in the back, "No reserve, no retreat, and no regret." I want to serve the Lord like that, don't you? No reserve. Not keeping something back. No retreat, not going back. No regret. I don't want to regret. I love that story, and it inspires me. I want to be that way. But that being said, I don't find satisfaction in anything I have ever done. Not once. Now, when I prepare messages, it's always important to me to know I've done my best. I don't get up unprepared. I've sought the Lord. I've prayed. I've studied. I want to do my best. But there's always something missing. I've never preached a message that I thought, well, I'm satisfied with that. I've never given a gift that I'm satisfied with that. I've never prayed a prayer that I'm satisfied with. I'm always left short. And I can't look at anything that I've done that I can say I have no regret. I don't think I'm going to be on my dying bed and look back at my life and say, I have no regrets. I'll have plenty of them. And you will too. So what is said about these men who died satisfied? Isaac died satisfied, satiated, content, full. How does someone die satisfied? Let me say three things about spiritual satisfaction before I look at what the scripture says about this. Spiritual satisfaction is being satisfied with what God is satisfied with. Nothing less. I think of that passage of scripture in Isaiah chapter 53 when it says, He shall see the travail of his soul and be what? Satisfied. Completely satisfied. God is completely satisfied with what his son did. Completely. He's not looking for anything else. He's not looking for anything out of me or you that will add to that. He is satisfied with what his son did. Completely satisfied. The Lord Jesus Christ is completely satisfied with what he did. The Father shall see the travail of his soul. Christ shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He knows that he has done everything. And everybody he died for, God the Father is completely satisfied with. And he's satisfied with those people too. The scripture says concerning them, because of the travail of his soul, every one of them, according to Colossians 1:22, are holy, unblameable. And that's the only thing I can be satisfied with. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. God the Holy Spirit is satisfied with what the Son did and what the Father sent for him to do, so that this is what he testifies to us. Satisfaction in Christ. He satisfied the Father. You know what? I'm satisfied with what he did too. I'm satisfied with what God's satisfied with. Complete satisfaction in our experience will not happen on this side of the grave. And David expressed that in Psalm 17 verse 15. He said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. And that hadn't happened yet insofar as my experience goes. I believe I do, but I will behold thy face. And when I think of that, looking on his face, beholding it, not looking down in shame, not looking down in regret, but beholding his face, the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, in righteousness. I will. I can't help but think that if I saw him right now, I'd just have to look down. Look down. But I will behold his face in righteousness. Then David went on to say in that same verse, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Until then, I want to learn what Paul learned. Would you turn with me for a moment to Philippians chapter 4? I am satisfied only with what God is satisfied with. While in the flesh, I will not find full satisfaction as long as I'm still a sinner. Now, if I didn't have any sin, I could be satisfied. But as long as I have a sinful nature, I will not find complete satisfaction until I do behold his face in righteousness, satisfied, awaking in his likeness. And Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, satisfied. I know both how to be abased. I know how to see that I am nothing but sin and the good that comes from that. I know how to be abased. And I know how to abound. Grace abounding toward me. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Never just one, both. Full in Christ, hungering after him. Both to abound, grace abounding, and to suffer need. I need thee, precious Jesus, for I am full of sin. My soul is dark and guilty. My heart is dead within. I need the cleansing fountain where I can always flee. The blood of Christ, most precious, the sinner's perfect plea. Now I want to show you from the scriptures what satisfaction is. Isaac died satisfied. Abraham died satisfied. Job died satisfied. David, Jehoiada. There's only five men in the scripture that this is a description of them. Five is the number of grace. I think there's a significant reason as to why there were five men. Five is the number of grace. You say, where do you get that? Well, all the tabernacle, everything is divisible by five. And there is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, first of all, we see that it's only by grace we die satisfied, satiated, fulfilled. Now, first, when Moses, this is found in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 23, he was given the prophecies of the sons of Jacob. And this is a long time after all of them were dead, but he's talking about the tribes. And he says this with regard to the tribe of Naphtali. And his name means wrestling. And I think he represents the wrestling that every believer experiences. The flesh lusting against the spirit, and the spirit lusting against the flesh. His name means wrestling. And the scripture says that he will be satisfied with favor. He's wrestling, and the only thing he will be satisfied with is pure, free grace. Let me give you the New Testament commentary on this. Paul was struggling, fighting with a thorn in the flesh. Who gave it to him? God gave it to him. That he might not be exalted above measure. Three times he asked the Lord that that thorn might depart. It's useless to try to figure out what it is. We don't know. I know it's a thorn in the flesh. I know a thorn in the flesh won't kill you. I know a thorn in the flesh is greatly painful. And the Lord sent him this thorn in the flesh to buffet him. The messenger of Satan, the scripture says. And what a getting beat black and blue with it. Once again, we don't know what it was. And he said, I asked the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient, is all that's needed to satisfy you and make you content. Are you content? Are you satisfied to be saved by sheer grace? I am. I am plumb satisfied to be saved by the grace of God. In Psalm 22:26, we read, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. Now, what about Psalm 22? What is Psalm 22? If you read that, you know that it is preeminently the Psalm of the Cross. How does it begin? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that psalm, the Lord says, they pierced my hands and my feet. It's preeminently the Psalm of the Cross. That's what Psalm 22 is all about. And the meek shall eat thereof and be satisfied. Who are the meek? Well, the same people who the Lord describes blessed are the meek. For they shall inherit the earth. Every believer is meek before God. Now, the world thinks of meekness as weakness, but meekness is strength. What is meekness? It's an attitude toward God. It's not so much my attitude toward you, it's my attitude toward God that believes that He is God and whatever He sends my way is right because He does it and I bow. That's meekness. Now who these meek people are, they're made meek by the Spirit of God. This is part of that great description of a believer, the Beatitudes, and they shall eat and be satisfied. Now, the only thing that I'm satisfied in, the only thing that I can eat and be satisfied is this: God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know I can be satisfied, truly satisfied, in glorying only in the cross? Now, I love, it was the Apostle Paul who wrote this. Paul, the man God brought into the third heavens. Paul, some could argue the chiefest apostle. He said he's the least of the apostles, but the Lord used him to write most of the New Testament. Oh, the experience of Paul. What does Paul say about his experience? God forbid that I should glory, that I should rejoice, that I should have confidence in anything save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's not talking about glorying in that wooden cross. That's talking about glorying in what Christ accomplished on that cross. His achievements, the complete salvation of His people. I can be satisfied with that. Psalm 65, verse 4. Go ahead and turn here. I probably ought to look at these. Psalm 65. I've got them written down, but I'd like you to look at them. Verse 1, praise waiteth for thee, O God. My marginal reading says, praise is silent before thee. I praise when I have no words to praise with. Anything is insufficient that I say. I feel like all I do is ruin it when I say anything. Praise is silent before thee. O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer. Aren't you glad he's the God who hears prayer? O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Verse 3. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgression, thou shalt purge them away. In the same verse, iniquities prevail against me. They're winning. As far as our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Now David is celebrating election, divine election. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Well, I love causing grace, don't you? Grace that causes me to approach unto the great King. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. Dwelling in the house of the Lord. Now let me remind you that that's not talking about dwelling in a physical place. At a certain point of longitude and latitude that's right there. It's not talking about that at all. Christ is the house of the Lord. How blessed is that man that dwells continually in this house. Drew, you were just singing about it. In the beloved, accepted am I. In the beloved, I went to the tree. Oh, blessed is that man that you choose and cause to approach unto thy courts, that he may approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. I am completely satisfied to simply be found in Christ. I find such satisfaction in that. I only find satisfaction in God seeing me only in Christ. I don't want him to see me in any other way but in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I find satisfaction there. I really do. I'm not looking for anything else. I'm not reaching out for anything else. I'm plumb satisfied to simply be in him, enjoying the goodness, the mercy, the grace of his house. Listen to this scripture, 1 Corinthians 1:30. Of him are you in Christ Jesus. That's the house we're talking about. Of him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus. I love that verse of scripture. Somebody says, well, how do I get in Christ? The only way you can get in Christ is if you're of him, you're in him, of him. If God put you there. And if he's put you there, you've always been there. That's just the truth. You've always been there. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Who's the us? Everybody God's made him this to. Wisdom. Wisdom. I have the wisdom in Christ that God can embrace me and have fellowship with me in Christ. Righteousness. I have the very righteousness of God that God can embrace me in Christ. Sanctification, holiness. He's made unto me holiness, and I have the holiness to where the holy God can embrace me. Redemption, full deliverance. Oh, in the Beloved, accepted am I. And I am satisfied right there. We don't want to be found anywhere but in Him. Now in Psalm 90, verse 14, Moses, the psalm he wrote, Psalm 90. Verse 14. You see, it's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. He says, oh, satisfy us early. Right now. We don't want to be waiting. We need this right now. Satisfy us with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. What's God's mercy? What is God's mercy? Well, here's how it works. And you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just like everybody else. But God, who is rich in mercy. There's the mercy of God. But God, not but you. But you turn things around. No. But God, who is rich in mercy, saving mercy. Now let me say this about God's mercy. Mercy that's offered to me, number one, is not mercy. If it's just offered to me, it's not mercy. Number two, that wouldn't do me any good anyway. I must have mercy that saves me. Saving mercy. And the only thing that will satisfy me is being saved by His but God, who is rich in mercy. And let me remind you, He's rich in mercy. He's got a lot of it. Infinite. Psalm 103. Go ahead and turn here, because I've got several things in this psalm I want us to look at. Verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now what does He satisfy our mouth? What good things is He speaking of? Well, look in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. These are the good things He fills our mouth with. And I love what He begins with, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Well, I've got a disease He hadn't healed me of. That's just the means He's going to use for your being healed completely. If you die of the disease, you're healed. You're healed. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. You know what that's talking about? Justification. He executed righteousness and judgment in your salvation. It's a just salvation. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. Revelation. He made known His ways. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He'll not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For when the wind passeth over it, it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children. Satisfied with good things. Psalm 107. He satisfieth, verse 9. Psalm 107, verse 9. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He satisfieth the longing soul. Now, I've already touched on this, but what is it that I personally, and I know I'm speaking as a representative of every believer when I say this, what is it that I long for? I long to be found in Christ and everything that's associated with that. That person who longs to be found in Christ, guess what? He satisfies them. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 19. Verse 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. The fear of the Lord. Now, I really believe this, and I think it's scriptural. The fear of the Lord and faith in Christ is the same thing. The fear of the Lord is that fear and reverence and awe and respect of his person that makes you afraid to look anywhere but Christ alone at all times. That only satisfies. Faith in Christ satisfies. The fear of the Lord satisfies. As a matter of fact, the psalmist said in Psalm 19, the fear of the Lord's clean. It is clean. And the fear of the Lord satisfies. Two scriptures from the New Testament. 1 Timothy 6. Verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. He's talking about preachers. Well, he's talking about anybody who believes that way. But what he's primarily talking about is these preachers, supposing that gain, here's the evidence of godliness, God's blessing, his material blessing on you. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, what is godliness? The word God is not in the word. It is well reverent. Well reverent. I want to be that, don't you? Godliness with contentment, satisfaction, is great gain. Four, verse 7. We brought nothing into this world. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. I like what somebody said about a very wealthy man that died. And they said concerning him, well, what did he leave? Everything. Everything. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content, satisfied. Now, just materially, you got food, you got clothing, be satisfied. I have no doubt that Paul is not only talking about having food and clothing be satisfied, but having Christ as your food, having Christ as your clothing, be satisfied. What else do you want? But they that will be rich, that's their desire. They that will be rich, they that want more than food and clothing. Now, that's talking about covetousness too. You know, what horrible things are brought into the world by them that will be rich. They'll step on everybody in order to get their riches. They that will be rich, but what about they that will be rich having something more than Christ as their food and clothing? They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition for the love of money. Not money, the love of money. Covetousness, greed. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Last scripture, Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, and I have no doubt he's talking about for preaching the gospel, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. You suffer with them. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Do you know that you cannot be content and covetous at the same time? If you're content, you're not coveting. You're satisfied. And if you're coveting, you're not content. Now, what does he mean when he says, be content with such things as you have? What do you have? I am my beloved's and he is mine. I have him. I have his grace. I have the promise of his eternal grace. I have a righteousness that's his righteousness. I have a new heart. I have faith. I have hope. I have love. I have everything that God has given. Scripture says, he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's what I have. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, when I lay my head on my pillow tonight, I want to do so satisfied. Now, I know in the flesh I'm not going to have complete satisfaction, but in my new man, I do. And I want to die just like Isaac did, full of days, satisfied. And let me repeat, that is not, I want to live like old that guy did. I want to serve Christ with no reserve, with no retreat, and with no regrets. I want to serve the Lord that way. But do I find satisfaction in my service? No. My satisfaction is in that which he is satisfied with. And I am satisfied. Let's pray.